You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
So, praying your gratitude, that's my general topic today. There's a lot of ways to express gratitude. One way is praise, and there's actually going to be a separate teaching on the topic of praise. But another way to express gratitude is thanks. Praise is concerned with what God is like. God, you are so merciful. That's praise. God, you are so merciful. I've had COVID for 3 weeks, but I'm now healed. That's thanks. Right? Praise and thanks are related. And so I'm going to focus today on thanking God. You know, we're commanded to thank God. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You want to know what the will of God is? Be thankful. I just wish I knew the will of God. Start there. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love, that Hebrew word, chesed, which means faithful love, covenant love. It's not love that's anchored in what you're like. It's love that's anchored in what he's like. So be thankful for that. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so we have thanks popping up twice. Thanks in your heart as you praise God, and thanks expressed explicitly as you talk with God. It's reasonable to thank God. What would you think of someone who you cooked a fine meal for and they just wolfed it down, burped, got up and walked away? You would think, boy, there's something wrong with this person. You know, it's not that you necessarily need praise yourself. Let's say you're not that sensitive and you don't need to have praise, but you'd realize there's something wrong with them. You know, maybe someone that has some mental health problem, narcissism, they wouldn't be grateful. Or someone who's so depressed they can't think of a single positive thing to be thankful for. So mental illness, maybe some children, maybe someone with brain damage. But this is not normal. It's reasonable to be grateful for good things you have. Psalm 107 puts it this way, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he's good. For his loving kindness, his chesed, is everlasting. Isn't that great? God's commitment to those who are his never ceases, in spite of who you are. At your worst, his love never ceases. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, and make known his deeds among the people. This is something David prayed at an interesting time. I don't know if you remember, but the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And they had this Ark of the Covenant, and this is a hot box. You don't want this in your camp. And so they started getting ill, they started getting tumors, they started getting problems, and they're like, this Ark, this Hebrew box is killing us. And so they put it on an ox cart and off it went. The ox went right straight to Israel. And it shouldn't have been on an ox cart. It's supposed to be carried with poles. Something bad happened. It started tipping over. Someone touched it, then they died. And David was sent the Ark somewhere else. And then the word came that the person who had the Ark in their backyard was doing really well. And David's like, all right, we'll bring it back. And so it's being brought back. And as it's being brought back to the tabernacle, there's no temple at this point, just the tent, the tabernacle. As it's being brought back, David says this, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people. So he's grateful that the Ark is coming back. And I thought it might be interesting to note something here that maybe you never really realized before. At this time, Asaph, maybe you've seen that name before, was named the chief of the gratitude crew. And so he appointed some Levites as ministers before the ark to celebrate and thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Verse 4 of the same chapter. And then he names some other people. And then in verse 7, he says, then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. How would you like to be the chief gratitude officer? Wouldn't that be awesome? They probably wouldn't pick me. They'd probably pick some of you because you often express gratitude. But this is, you know, something to give thanks for. Hebrews 12, 28, we're going to mention this a little later, but therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. And so this idea of gratitude, it's reasonable. In fact, one of the evidences of wickedness toward the end of days is ingratitude. One of the things that comes up, well, we'll talk about this in a second, but in Romans 1, the beginning of all the horrible things that follow, rejecting God is failing to worship or thank him. It's the beginning of the end. So it's reasonable to thank God. Why would God command this? You know, if I said to you, hey, you know, I prepared this teaching. I was kind of ill. I wasn't feeling that great, but I prepared this teaching. Please make sure before I leave today, you come up to me and thank me. You would think, he's mad. What's wrong with this guy? What an egotist. What a narcissist, you might think. And so when God commands this, you're like, why would he command us to praise him? Why would he command us to thank him? Well, you've got to understand, God doesn't actually need anything. So he's not commanding thanks because he needs thanks. The God who made the world and all in it, Paul says in Acts 17, is not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And God says in Psalm 50, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. God has no needs. So why would he command this? He commands this because it's good for us. Just like I might say to my child, well, now I've got my first grandchild, and eventually when he can start understanding me, I'm going to give him good things, or I'm going to notice that someone gives him something good, and I'm going to say, make sure you say thank you. Right? Why would I do that? Because they need it? Because I need it? No, because he needs it. He needs to have a grateful heart. Why is it good for us? Well, it causes spiritual health. It deepens spiritual health. It celebrates spiritual health. In fact, C.S. Lewis said that praise to God is almost spiritual health made audible. And so you want to get healthier if you feel kind of weak spiritually? I would encourage you to spend time thanking God. If you feel like your spiritual health is a little shallow, I would encourage you to spend time thanking God. If you really are just enjoying God a lot and you want to celebrate it, I would encourage you to thank God, because it causes and it deepens and it celebrates spiritual health. As I said earlier, fallen people are inclined toward ingratitude. It's the mark of the last days. It precipitates all kinds of evil, ingratitude does. At least for me, it does. If I hit a place in my life where I'm ungrateful, all kinds of wickedness comes forward. I was getting in my car the other day. I was thinking about this morning, like how weird I am. I was getting in my car and I saw my neighbor. And I'm like, I'm going to go this way so I don't have to wave at him. And I had the same thought about another neighbor the next day. And I was in the office this morning, and I thought, well, I'm going to go to the bathroom this back way so I don't have to talk with a person at the front desk. Why am I teaching you about this? I'm the worst person to teach you about this. Well, thank God. I'm grateful for this. He brought to my mind how unwilling I am to engage people. What a gift. Something I can repent of. So all kinds of evil. For me, it would be the evil of neglect. In Romans chapter 1, when Paul's trying to describe the whole arc of human fallenness, he says this, that they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas about what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. And from this, there's a whole down escalator of horrible, sinful, wicked things that come out of this. But this is the headwater, failing to worship or thank God. And so, being grateful, being thankful, should flow from our redemption. What does our redemption mean? I'll talk about this a little more later, but the idea in the Bible of redemption is that we are in trouble. You know, in Tennessee, that hospital where everyone was standing on the roof, and then the helicopters came and rescued people, saved people, redeemed people from the danger. And so the idea of redemption is that we're rescued from some danger. It can have a general meaning, like I'm redeemed from COVID, right? I've been in situations where I should have been in a car accident and it didn't happen. I was redeemed from the danger that I was in. But biblically, redemption generally means redeemed from something very scary, the wrath of God. The Bible teaches that we are, apart from God, we're in danger from God. You know, God often says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. But in one case, he says, be afraid of me, because I am coming in judgment. But I will provide a way out from under that judgment. And those who have responded and who have asked Christ, who atoned for human sin, who turned aside God's judgment to himself from us, if we go to God and ask for that forgiveness, we're redeemed. And it should naturally flow from our redemption. The further we are from the moment at which we ask God for this gift, probably the less thankful we are. And so part of being thankful is we go back and remember things. Well, Psalm 107, 1 through 2, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his, again, said, his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Not just think so, say so. It gives us hope and peace. It helps us with our health because we end up feeling more hopeful and more peaceful. Do you ever think to yourself, you know, my prayer life is kind of flat? It's kind of, if you learned Latin at all in high school, pro forma. I'm going through the form of praying, but there's nothing there. I feel listless in my prayer. I suspect that you could make a lot of gains by spending time thanking God. A lot of times our prayer life is listless and pro forma because we're not thanking God. We're just going through lists. You can't have a relationship with a human being that's merely, well, you can, but it's merely functional. It's not much of a relationship. My mother-in-law, early on in my relationship with my mother-in-law, when we showed up, we were slave labor. You know, we were cooking, we were cleaning. You know, she was, if we sat down for a minute, she was scowling and angry. You know, we were like, we were there to work. And if I said, I love you, she'd be like, talk is cheap. Right? So for her, being functional was the only way to have a relationship with her, but that's not much of a relationship. And it's not much of a relationship with God either. If we just sit there going through our lists with God, it's no wonder that it feels stale. Plus, a lot of times, if we're not thankful, our heart is not in the right place as we pray. And so a lot of times in our prayer life, it can be listless, but also our prayer life can be nothing but worrying out loud. Why is it we get to the end of our prayer time and we're more anxious than when we started? Consider that you're not thanking God. You know, the last time I taught, we got into the the argument that we needed to set our minds on God. We needed to be still and know that God was God. That's an important mental adjustment. One way to get there is by thanking him, thinking through what he's like, appreciating him. And so in Philippians 4, 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing. All of you who struggle with anxiety, consider this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication," this is what Ben was talking about last week, asking, "with thanksgiving," supplication, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And so one of the things that causes and deepens and celebrates our spiritual health is that we are thanking God, and as a result, we have hope and we have peace. It opens our eyes to God's leadership as well. You know, human beings by nature tend to only see things they believe are true. And this can work against us. If I decide my friend is kind of a scoundrel, then all I'm going to notice are evidence that they're a scoundrel. I'm not going to notice anything to the contrary. It's part of being human. But the reverse is also true. If I decide my friend is so serving, so delightful, so helpful, I'm going to tend to notice evidence that they're all of those things. And so I'm not surprised that Psalm 50, which is a great little psalm to maybe read today on thankfulness, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright," that is, he's referring back to the sacrifice of thanksgiving, "I shall show the salvation of God." There's a promise of leadership that you get because you're thankful. It also enhances our mental health. And I'm going to refer you in a second, so get your cameras ready, to an excellent Summer Institute teaching that James Rochford did and is on his blog site about gratitude, the general topic of gratitude. Today I'm focused on a particular kind of gratitude, thankfulness toward God. But he talks in general about gratitude. And he's got tons of scientific research that demonstrates that people's mental health improves when they're grateful. Like if I told you right now to quickly jot down 5 things you're thankful for, your mood would go up. And a few weeks later, if we never did it again, it would drop back down to normal. But for people who spend a little time at the end of each day thinking about a handful of things they're grateful for, their mood improves over the long haul. What changed? It's not like if you're thankful, you make things up. It's that when you're thankful, you bring your attention onto things that boost your mood. And it helps all kinds of other mental health problems. And so I would encourage you to take a listen to that blog. It also enhances our physical health. I'm not going to expand on this any further, but it gets your immune system more healthy. It helps your blood pressure. It lowers your cholesterol. It's not just oatmeal that helps. It's also thankfulness that helps. But again, I'm not going to elaborate on this. You can look at this. I'll take the picture quick. James Rochford has this teaching on his blog site, The Lost Virtue of Gratitude, at his Evidence Unseen blog site. If you just type in Evidence Unseen and then get there and then hit the little magnifying glass and search for gratitude, it'll come right to that page. I would highly recommend it. But I'm not talking about gratitude in general today, so I'll just leave that there. But it's also good for others. It's good for us. God doesn't need our gratitude. We need our gratitude. But it also helps other people. Do you realize the impact you have on others when you're sour and dour? Do you realize the impact it has on others when you're grateful? Psalm 107, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for the wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people. There's a communal aspect to praise and thanks. It's good for others. It challenges some people to turn to him. If I'm thanking God, I'm grateful to God, and people are listening, it may challenge them to direct their attention to God, because it seems to them that you're getting a lot out of this relationship, and maybe they might get something out of this relationship too. You know, in Hebrews 11, the passage points out that those who come to God must come to him believing that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How are they going to get that impression? From you. Because you talk about him like he is and that he rewards you for seeking him. You know, some of the followers of Jesus were captured and beaten and thrown into prison in stocks. And what did they do when they were there? Did they moan and groan? Did they say, "Where's God? How come he's not delivering us?" No, they were thankful that they were worthy to be found to suffer for Christ's sake. And they sang. And the jailer who's, you know, up above is listening to them singing. And this had an effect on him. Because later when there's an earthquake and they're all released and the jailer thinks, I'm a dead man because I let my prisoners go. I was about to fall on a sword. And they said, no, we're all here. And he took them to his own home and he cleaned all the wounds they had from their beating. And he and his family turned to God and asked for forgiveness through Christ. What happened? He simply listened to them praising and thanking God and prepared his heart to receive this gift. We read in Philippians chapter 2, do all things without grumbling or disputing. So that's the opposite of thankful. You know, just in case you weren't sure what not unthankful looked like, it's grumbling and disputing. So that you will prove or demonstrate yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So what are you doing? You're not grumbling or disputing. And so you must be praising God. I mean, you must be thanking God. And what happens when that happens? It's like those bicycles you ride, you know, that make a light bulb light up. You're that. As you're praising and thanking God, you become a light to others around you. You know, it also, this, you know, for some, they need to turn to God. For others, they just maybe need encouragement. Maybe they've lost hope. And as you're thanking God, then what happens is that people are listening to you thanking God, and they're maybe in their sin, they're just going to be jealous. Oh, yeah, things are great for you. Like someone said to me recently, must be nice to be a real empty nester, because they're old enough to be empty nesters, but they're taking care of all the grandkids a lot. So you can have an envious response. But I think if someone is grateful, it encourages others to hope in God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses encourages people, remember all the things God has done so that you will be faithful. And so as you're thanking God and expressing gratitude about God and to God and to other people around God, people will be encouraged to be faithful to God. Psalm 69 says, I will praise and thank God. Why? So the humble, this is interesting, the precondition for the listener is that they be humble. But so that the humble will be encouraged. It also enhances your relationships. And again, Rochford goes into this. So I'll put his blog up there again in case you didn't get a picture the first time. But one of the things that's kind of interesting is that the experiments have been run, and the person who is told to practice gratitude, and their friends don't know what they're doing. They don't know about the experiment. But what they find is that these people report that they feel better about the relationship, not knowing what was going on, not knowing the experimental condition. Gratitude here produced happiness about the relationship over there. I'll say no more about that. So it's good for us to thank God. It's good for others to thank God. It's reasonable to thank God. And we're commanded to thank God. That's the case for thanking God. Not enough. How do we incline ourselves this way? How to be more thankful in prayer, especially? I think reflect on the good things God's given you. I'd highly recommend you do it every day. Every day. I don't know when you're going to do it. If you're too sleepy to do it at night, do it in the morning. If you're too sleepy to do it in the morning and you're eating your oatmeal because you want to get your cholesterol down, do it while you're eating your oatmeal. Double blast of cholesterol reduction. But do it every day. And maybe it's nothing more than sitting still and thinking about the good things God's given you. Now, I will say this. I think if you're going to think about, you know, good things God's given you and you do it daily, I would try to not be like super casual about it. What do I mean by that? I could go to God and say, thank you for my friend Nick. Thank you for my friend Byron. Thank you for my friend Rob. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids, Evan and Carly. Thank you for my grandson, Theo. I could run through that list, but I'm not thinking all that deeply about it. So I would encourage you, as you go through your things you're thankful about, maybe you ask yourself the question, now, why exactly am I thankful? Well, I'm thankful for my grandson, Theo, because he's healthy. And I thank you that he seems like such a happy baby. I sent a sarcastic comment to one of the pictures recently. It's yet another picture of Theo smiling. And I said, this kid is so dour. But it's exactly the opposite. You know, he's so happy. He looks at you and his face lights up. I'm like, wow, I'm thankful that he's a happy baby. I'm thankful for my wife because she is very devoted to God and she's very willing to sacrifice for others. And I get caught in her slipstream and I end up helping others that I I just told you what I was like. I drive by people because so I don't have to wave at them. That costs so much. But I'm thankful that I've got a wife who pulls me into loving other people. So as I begin to unpack why I'm thankful, my gratitude increases. Let all that I am, my whole self, praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. This could include how he made you. Psalm 139 talks about being, you know, wonderfully and awesomely made. You go through all these things that are true about how this person is made, and gratitude is just pouring out of that psalm. I have a friend whose body's kind of pear-shaped, and he says, I can't wait to get my new body. But the thought occurs to me, he says, what if my new body is pear-shaped? And God says, that's the perfect body for you. So being grateful, you know, maybe not for all things, but at least in all things. Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about being grateful in his weaknesses and for his weaknesses. I'm grateful for my, you know, the things he's given me that are good, but I'm also grateful for the things that I've resented most of my life. Like I've got a short palate. I had a very nasal voice in school. I was mocked by friends. I was mocked by enemies. I was mocked by teachers for my voice. I got more and more withdrawn and more depressed. But in retrospect, I'm not sure I ever would have sought God if I didn't have this great need. And so God made me limp so that I would limp to him. Now look, I'm public speaking. Go figure. How he led you to ask for and provided salvation. So this may not be true of everyone here. For those that it is true of, have you ever stopped and reflected on how he led you to him? I told you my speech impediment made me sort of hungry for God. I wanted him to fix the problem. I didn't know that I had a bigger problem than I realized. I had a problem with him. I needed to be rescued. I needed to be saved. I needed to be redeemed. I didn't know that. But as I went looking for God in order to have my voice healed, I ended up finding out I had a huge problem that only God could solve. And he provided it through the death of Christ. And I asked him for that gift. And so I could say, thank you for my salvation, God, or I could go back and think about, where would I be if he had never intervened in my life? What if at 14, I didn't have that experience in my living room where I was standing there thinking, this cannot be all there is? And then I promptly forgot about it. But that thought came back to me later as I began seeking God. God saw me while I was a stranger, while I was an enemy. Something to be thankful about. He didn't just lead me to ask for it. He provided the means by which I could be rescued. If you haven't done this, maybe you're the one that's sitting here thinking this can't be all there is. Maybe you're the one that realizes, thinks, my problem is this, but if you've chased God long enough, you're going to find out, no, actually, your problem is this. It's between you and me. That's a much bigger problem, and I've got a solution, God will say to you. Seek him. What he's given you because you're his own child. Part of being rescued, part of going to God and asking to be forgiven through Christ is that it's like the best Ronco commercial ever. There's always more. Because I've gone to God, I've been forgiven, I'm passed from judgment, nothing can ever separate me from the love of God anymore, which is great. God calls me his own child and adopts me into his family. Well, that's really good. God puts his own spirit in me. I'm never alone. And that spirit that's in me provides power for spiritual growth and provides power for being able to do significant things. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But there's all these things that accrue to you when you're a child of God. As I said, the power that God provides for spiritual growth. God who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ, Philippians says. He gives you eternally meaningful things to do. If I build a statue, if I build a beautiful garden, and I'm gone, it's gone, right? It's not permanent. It's temporal. But God gives me things to do that will ripple into eternity. He gifts you to serve in your own unique way. Like everyone here has been given by God's Spirit certain clusters of gifts that are unique to you. Read Ephesians 4, read 1 Corinthians 12, read 1 Peter 4, read Romans 12. These are lists of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives people, and every one of you, like a fingerprint, has some unique cluster of gifts. Can't we be thankful for that? Because he then allows us to do things that we're gifted at, and there's nothing more rewarding than doing things you're gifted at. Be thankful for that. That he empowers you to serve. How many times have I been on my way out of the house at night thinking, I am so tired, I totally don't want to do this. And I'll admit that to my wife and we'll pray and ask God to give me the energy to do the thing that I have to do. And he does, and it's delightful. And he's prepared a path for me, and he's prepared the person I'm talking with. Again and again and again. Of course, I could be thankful to him that he empowers service toward him. He gives us an eternal home and an inheritance. So we just covered this section on reflecting on the things that God's given you, but I think I need to tell you, you also need to express the thanks. 65% of people surveyed think they're above average in intelligence. Similarly, there have been surveys done of people asking them if they feel like they're grateful, and the vast majority of people believe they're grateful, and they believe they're more grateful than everyone around them. So that means at this table, you all think you're more grateful than everyone else at the table. That can't be true. How do you overcome this deficit of overvaluing your gratitude? Express your gratitude. You know, I think Ben last time talked about the idea of asking God for things. And he's had this thought process he went through, like, have I asked God for that? And he realized very often he was thinking about something, he was worried about something, but he hadn't actually asked God for it. I think, too, you'd be like, have I actually thanked God for this? Many times you realize, I thought about it, but I didn't express it. So it's important that you express it. And C.S. Lewis, in his Reflections in the Psalms, says, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It's appointed consummation. Delight is incomplete until it's expressed. It's this joke is takes too long to set up, but the idea is this guy plays hooky from something he's supposed to be at, and he gets a hole in one and another hole in one, another hole in one, and you know, one of the angels says to God, why are you letting him get all these holes in one? He's like, who's he gonna tell? You know, that joke captures this idea that the delight is more fully felt when you express it. Not enough for me to have a passing thought that I really like this about my friend or I like this about my wife or my child. When I express it, it actually goes deeper into my own soul, and it also blesses them. So I would just recommend this. This is not a law, not a law. But I would highly recommend, as an experiment, that you just take the first 10 minutes of your prayer time to thank God. If you're naturally grateful, this will be very easy. If you're not, this takes about 10 minutes for me to get enough speed going that I actually get a little breathless in my thanks. Initially, it's like, thank you, God, for... And I many times I've gone to God and said, I feel totally embarrassed. I want to thank you, but I can't think of anything to thank you for. Would you please bring to my mind? And he does. He will. He's faithful in that way. And bring things to mind. And you'll find it just starts like a train, you know. It'll just start going faster and faster. And be grateful. I find a lot of the... I don't want to insist that this happen in group prayer. I've asked for it to happen in group prayer, but most people just go immediately to their requests. But I've asked, you know, let's just take 10 minutes to praise and thank God. Let's just do that. And when it happens, it's really quite delightful. A, you realize what God's doing you didn't know about. And B, your confidence in God increases, just like we studied here a little bit ago. And you're emboldened to ask God for things you might not have asked him for. I cannot get any group I've ever been with to do this consistently. I don't want to make it a law, but it's like it actually would help them to spend the first 10 minutes thanking and praising God. Also, things come up moment by moment that you could stop and thank God for. This is kind of stupid, but I have a great delight in cool breezes. When a cool breeze hits my face, I'm like, ah, I love this. How often do I stop and thank God for cool breezes? Goose egg. And I think a lot of times, you know, the way we approach life a lot of times is like the way we approach food. We just gulp it down and move on. What if we stopped and savored? What if we stopped and savored something good before God? It could be food. I lost my sense of smell last weekend. I love to cook. It was the worst week ever. I cooked this great bolognese, and I'm like, I can't smell a thing. I couldn't even tell if it was any good. I got a cup of coffee, nothing. My friends, several of my friends prayed that I would get my sense of smell back because they knew what a loss it would be. And it would have been a huge loss. It was a loss for the time that it lasted. And so just as things come up moment by moment, you know, someone puts their hand on your shoulder. Thank you, God. Some need gets satisfied just along the way. Thank you, God. Thank you. You know, Jesus in Luke 17 has a situation where there's 10 lepers who approach him, and he says, go to the priest and present yourself. And as they were heading toward the priest to present themselves, they all got healed. And 9 of them continued on with their life. One came back to thank Jesus, and Jesus, knowing human nature, said, weren't there 10? I don't think he was surprised, but that demonstrates what we're like. We have awesome things happen, and we don't even think to stop and thank. So as things come up, just thank him. And I think make sure you thank God in front of others. A lot of us are sort of self-conscious about thanking God in front of other people. We feel like, oh, we're going to come off like this, we're going to come off like that. But we should thank God in front of others because it honors God and because it challenges them in the way that we described. And urging them to turn to God in faith, urging them to hope in God, it honors God and it challenges them. We should do it out loud. Not because we're trying to be a big deal, not because we're trying to show off, but because it's good to honor God and it's good for them. And without concern for what others might think. One of the best examples of this I can think of is the same Ark story. They're finally bringing the Ark of the Covenant back, and David is coming along. They're using poles this time, not putting it on an ox cart. And they're so, David is so excited that he starts dancing and praising God and jumping in the air. I don't know what it looked like, but his wife thought it looked ridiculous, and she was judging his motives. How you've distinguished yourself in front of the young women today. The motive, she was saying he was doing this so that women would be impressed with him. And David said this, I did this before the Lord, and I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I'll be humiliated in my own eyes, but I will not stop praising the Lord. God saw this interaction. She was not able to have kids from this point forward. She should have been out there celebrating. Well, there's the case for thanking God. I thank you that you gave me a chance to teach over my head. I pray that this wouldn't be long, that this wouldn't be over my head anymore, but it'd be part of my obedience and part of my experience. I pray this too for my friends here, that for some, they're grateful people. They do this as naturally as breathing. But for others that are maybe a little more dour, a little more selfish, it's harder. I pray that you would, it's not like you can make us grateful, but I pray you'd bring to mind things we could stop and be grateful for. And since we're a little thick, I pray you'd throw an elbow in our ribs so you would remind us, hey, stop and be grateful for this. Amen.